AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Brought to you by Kyle Wilson and co-host Chris Coffey. What's going on, Chris? Welcome to the podcast. Today, we have a full lineup of some breaking news. First up, we have, are NFTs dead? Question mark. All right, we're going to be bringing a lot of facts and data to the table to present to you today. Mixon gets hacked for over $200 million. And there's other news like Solana FinTech question mark popping off. So a lot of info to cover today, a lot of ground and much more. Yuga switching to improbable or moving away from improbable. But Chris, man, what's going on? I saw your tweets this weekend. It looks like you have a new brand new device. What exactly new device do you have?
Bro, this is wild. Okay, before I go into the device, I'm watching us on X right now. I mean, I know some people still get offended by using the word, the name of the platform. So I'll say Twitter for the old school people out there. But we're live, man. We're broadcasting. We got the, you can kind of see it on screen. Got the pink circle around your name. Probably going to be like pink up top where you would normally see spaces. We got Green Goblin in the house. Hey, good morning, boys. So this is pretty cool, man. This is our first live stream on X through this like new way of doing it, where you can actually see it as a space. So super freaking cool. Kyle, I know you've been wanting this for a while.
Yeah, dude, I just tweeted that. Like, I literally begged and pleaded with the CEO of X. Like, I was like spamming her tweets with suggestions. And I was like, please, the live stream, like, please update the live stream. Please, like, streamers will definitely add value. And I was like posting it in their bugs and features community. I was posting on hers. I was posting on the X account. And finally, they upload, like, I tweeted that. Now, I don't know if they like saw my like tweet, but I like to think that they did, you know, who knows?
Sure, man.
But anyways, that's cool news. What's up with you though? You got a cool device over there waving it around.
I'm so interested that like how this new system is on X. I was just like, cause you can like comment now. Up until like last week, for those that don't know, you could live stream on X, but like it wasn't really integrated well. Like you could just kind of like put your video, your live stream on X, but like didn't pop up in the algorithms very well. Nobody really cared about it. Sorry, my kids are in the background. But now you can like comment, you can interact. It shows like the viewers on there. It pops up as spaces. That's a big deal. Anyways, I got the new iPhone 15. Let's go. My first time upgrading since the 12. A lot of people are like, why'd you upgrade? There's no difference between the 14 and the 15. You're right. There's not a big difference between the 14 and 15, but I'm coming from the 12. I get $450 trading credit for my like, however many year old that phone is. And I'm already noticing a pretty big difference in like accessibility, functionality, just feels nicer. I'm trying to think of the most things that I use on this so far. I have been, there's some big features on here that I haven't used. Like I actually just saw one I didn't even know was a thing, to where this guy was videoing this like monument and he's like shaky on purpose. Like he's going like up and down, up and down. And then he ends up like showing you the video and it stabilized the entire video. So like it had the stabilizer on it. It's like really cool. And there's some other like, so I just took a screenshot of our X thing and it said share screenshot and broadcast. That's pretty freaking cool. So at any given point, if something cool happens, you can screenshot it and immediately broadcast that. I'm sorry. I'm like geeking out over this like X spaces.
You can, like, screenshot it and broadcast it. Like what?
Yeah. So I didn't know that was a thing. Like right now, if I like screenshot, it immediately says share screenshot and broadcast. I'll actually go ahead and do that. Okay. So it just sends you to the screenshot that I just sent and then immediately starts to try to tweet it for you. It's going to look super lame. For those of you that are live here, I'll just post it just so you can like kind of see what I'm talking about. That's pretty cool. Anyways, back to the iPhone, USB-C, which, you know, has its own set of like it being kind of annoying at times. But I actually just realized if for some reason I needed like another camera for my computer, actually, like you can use USB-C devices. I think I could plug in my USB-C to my phone and use it as like a backup camera. or like B-roll or like even for this video. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know. Just still trying to figure out like all the features and stuff. I don't want to be on my phone this whole video, but we were talking about the new iPhone.
Yeah, and plus we got like a whole litany of topics to go over, but sure. It's really cool. Like the chat, I don't know why it's not showing the previous chat, but like you can see everybody popping in this morning, like you mentioned, Green Goblin, Eddie, and many others. So thank you so much for joining. Crazy stuff going on in the crypto and NFT space. So Chris, you have to tell us at the very end your final thought on the iPhone 15, if you like it or not. We're going to save that to the end, so you guys have to stick around for that. We're going to save the alpha for the very end. I think that will keep people around a little bit there. But are NFTs dead, man? I've been seeing this all over the news. Like literally every media company out there, mainstream media is pumping this, like this kind of narrative that NFTs are dead. Is this a conspiracy? What's going on? What's your thoughts on this? I know you got some good stuff going on.
You moved the camera, so like I'm not centered. I was OCD about it. Yeah, man. So last week, I think it was like Thursday, is when the article came out and every big account ever shared the article of NFTs being dead and being at zero. It was like shared by like Watcher Guru, Dexerto. It made like some other types of news headlines, Rolling Stones, like a lot of other ones. I was like one of the first ones I knew of that actually checked the source. Like, I mean, one, like you don't really need a source if you're in the communities. Just lost Kyle. I'll keep
going. No, I'm maximizing you, bro.
Okay. Don't really need a source because like I'm here and I can tell you it's not dead. But I went and checked like the source, and a lot of people were like even like too afraid to even quote it because it was such like an insignificant article. It was from Dapp Gambler, which is like a crypto gambling platform. So they literally did this entire thing for clout. And the tests that they ran were really obscure, and they attacked NFTs from a lot of different angles, which is ironic because they're a crypto-based company. Easy wrote a really good thread on this. Should I share my screen or should I just talk about it?
Easy thread. Yeah, you can share your screen if you want.
Yeah, I thought it was a good thread, so I'll pull it up. I actually just shared it on mine, but let me see if I still can. Will the shared screen show on X? I'm sure it will. GM, everybody, Green Goblin, Eddie, Ty, all of you. All right, so here's the Rolling Stones headline. Your NFTs are actually finally worthless. They basically analyzed like a collection that was an obvious rug, and it did go to zero. It went from like having a market cap of 669,000 ETH to a market cap of zero, which is just kind of like a random collection called Matt Connect that I've literally never even heard of before. And then they attacked it for NFTs being bad for the environment, which is always like a very weird argument, especially if you're American and like already doing like you're supporting corporations that are like are actually bad for the environment. And that's kind of what Easy brought up here. They were saying that there's like 200,000 NFTs that like nobody's holding or interacting with. And they're like, wow, this wasted 162,000 metric tons of CO2. Okay, that sounds bad on paper, but like in comparison to like airplanes in 2018, airplanes alone caused 1 billion tons of CO2. I don't know if you guys like understand the significant difference between like 100,000 and a billion, but it's meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. 162,000 versus like 1 billion tons of CO2. Plus, we have layer two solutions for this. Like we talked about Immutable X for a long time. Basically, there's zero carbon output. A lot of layer twos are easier on the environment. So also a bad example. Most things that like I said earlier, like larger corporations that are running things, like this is insignificant amount compared to like what you're probably already supporting and not writing articles on. Here's more like frauds in the data. So basically Easy's like a summation of all of this is according to his data, he puts us at like, you know, we're not at 0%, we're at 5%. But I mean, I agree. I mean, like, everybody could have, like a lot of people understood that, you know, a year or two ago that most NFT projects are going to fail. Like I would always laugh at people when they would say like, oh, 98% of projects are going to fail. I'm laughing because I see so many scam projects. I see so many projects that don't know what they're doing. I see founders that don't know what they're doing. So I'm like, no, like 99.8% of projects are going to fail. So like, that doesn't surprise me that like, I mean, even 5% would be bullish to me.
Yeah, man. And I got something to also pull up real quick as well, just showing going over the actual numbers in the space. So let me go ahead and pull that up real fast. Is this is from Dapp Radar. So if you haven't used Dapp Radar before, it's like an analytics platform that monitors like every blockchain and like every NFT project, basically. But you can see down by the numbers here, the NFT industry as a overview last year versus this year, daily unique active wallets. You can see here in August was 314,000. And then trading volume, 800 million last year. This year, 559. So definitely down a little bit there for sure. And you can see unique NFT traders at 700,000 unique traders versus last year, 977. Again, this makes sense, but are NFTs dead? This data shows otherwise. You can take a look here across the top blockchain NFT blockchains by trading volume. Ethereum is still majorly dominant. I mean, it's only like down by half. It says here $649 million in sales counts last month in August, but this year in August, it's $355 million. And you can see some of the top blockchains here. Immutable actually made the chart last month at $21 million. Polygon, Flow, and ZK Sync this year topping those charts out. So be on the lookout for those up and coming other layer ones and layer twos as well out there. Don't be sleeping on those. A lot of people like to knock those and forget about them. But again, when Ethereum is doing well, so will the other layer twos and other ecosystems out there, in my opinion. And you can see the sales count as well. Polygon doing really well this year, last month, 497,000. And you can see last year, Ethereum was super dominant around that time for obvious reasons. A lot of these chains have scaled significantly since then. And then if we can scroll in, let me see if I can actually blow this up a little bit bigger for you guys in the audience so you can actually see it on your phones and devices out there.
So I will say, Kyle, watching from the live Twitter spaces right now, it's like doing picture by picture. So I wonder if because we're displaying the screen, it's not keeping up. Like it's not really showing well at all.
Oh, okay. Let me see here. On mine, it's pretty normal.
If it's good on yours, then let's let it rip.
You got it sideways or something?
My iPhone 15 just can't keep up, bro.
Yeah, it's really an iPhone 14. It's just packaged as a 15, but yeah, we won't tell Chris that. All right, let's move on though. We have ZK Sync ERA. Yeah, I think it's ERA. They're coming in top last month at 205,000 trader count across that blockchain. So again, the numbers are the proof's in the pudding right here, man. Like you take a look at here at OpenSea versus Blur from this last year in August versus this year in August. Chris, this one's an interesting fact, man. Look at this one. Look at this chart right here. You can see OpenSea trading volume 500 million last month. Blur was half of that, but still dominated this last month. You can see private sales hit 152 million and then OpenSea at 79 million, a distant third from last year, big time. So look at this one too. This was interesting to me. Axie Infinity coming in at top five marketplaces by traders at 167. Remember, we've been talking about on the podcast, Web3 gaming is crushing, man. And this, don't sleep on Web3 gaming because Axie is continuing to grow. If they grow their IP, their marketplace, and even the Ronin chain, be on the lookout for that. But yeah, this, let's go back to you, man. What's your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, man, I don't think NFTs are dead. I think that people are still building and that I'm still trying to figure out how these Twitter spaces are working. So I'm getting, a little bit distracted.
Chris has ADHD. Okay. So we probably to some degree both have it. And like when Chris is talking, I'm doing stuff over here. And then when I'm talking, Chris is doing stuff. And we actually complement each other well because of that.
Usually, man, but it's the Twitter spaces, man. It's just like, it's so new. It's like, I can't get off of the Twitter spaces.
It's actually pretty amazing. And
it is, except let's for the see, fact we got, it's not playing on mine. Is it still playing on yours? What, chat, if you're there from Twitter spaces, can you let us know if it's like playing smoothly for you?
Yeah, it's playing smoothly for me. I got it pulled up on my phone off to the side.
See, but I'm looking up right now and you're showing what you're showing me. I'm looking down.
It's paused. Well, I mean, there's a slight delay.
No, it's paused.
No, it's not paused. We're talking. Like you can hear the audio. Anyways, don't focus on that, man. Let's keep it rolling.
Sure.
In the news here, though, FriendTech. All right, that obviously hasn't been a thing. We talked about it. We were like literally the first podcast, the first content creators to cover FriendTech.
Oh, easy.
Yeah. All right, and then now everybody's trying to take credit for it. Like, oh, I was so early. I was I believed in the early, like all this stuff. Like, listen. I'm not necessarily for FriendTech. I think it's the way people are promoting it and marketing it is scummy. So let me back that up a little bit. but we did cover it first. All right. So let it be known, y'all found the alpha here first. Not to say we're over here promoting FriendTech. We're just telling you the data, you know, the drivers, the things that like we know in the space to be true. FriendTech obviously has been doing really well on base layer chain. You know, Coinbase is layer two, but Solana is appearing to pop off. Chris, what's your overall macro like take of this thing? What's going on here? What's your thoughts, FriendTech versus, you know, base versus Solana, FriendTech? What's your thoughts on all this, man?
Bro, I've been like struggling with FriendTech the last few days because I got the new phone and there's like not an easy feature to like log into the new phone because, like you said, we were so early. I swear the login was different. I just found out like probably an hour before we went live that I used like a burner Gmail to like start it. So I had to go find that and then to be able to log into my new phone. But I thought when we did it that it was just like a code and that's it. You're like ready to go. But apparently that wasn't right. But yeah, FriendTech, I agree with you. Like, I think it's really cool for like creators and the bonding curve. One of the things I think is specifically cool is like, you don't really have to be like a content creator. You can be like a developer. You can be a data analyst. You can be all these different things.
Little data analyst.
Yeah, and give people access to you like very easily. Like, yeah. You know, because they can just like join your room. You can like automatically give them like whatever service you offer. And then like they get royalties from being traded and it keeps it way more exclusive because of the bonding curve. Because like if you have like 100 holders, you're going to be worth like 5 ETH. So
whoa, yeah. Mars Alter the Avenger coming in high with a comment here. Yes, NFTs are dead. We're all dumb enough to buy into the scam.
At least he said we. So he like jumped in. He jumped off the cliff with us. I got a YouTube comment not long before we went live that was like somebody random like that too. I guess they were like involved with NFTs. Now they're not, and they got like super mad. But you know, it is what it is. It's not my fault. You like bought top, but you know, here we are. Back to the FriendTech thing. So there's like this like BTC's version of it, which is like alpha, I think is what it's called. Apparently somebody already made an account pretending to be me and it's worth like 0.2 BTC, which I'm pretty frustrated at because I'm only worth like 0.02 on the ETH side of things.
Whoa, so there's a BTC version, huh?
Yeah, it's called alpha, I think.
Okay. I kind of like that name.
I don't agree with what they're doing though. They're like, okay. What should you do? We Alpha Media Labs, our newsletter. Go give us a subscribe for all the content recapped. And
you know what? I'm just so sick of the space that you have to go subscribe if you're even more sick of it in order to not be sick of it. Go subscribe to our newsletter.
Ayo. So on the BTC one, I don't really agree with the way they're doing things because they lock in a placeholder that's like people already trade, but that's like before you even get to the platform. So I guess like people don't even necessarily have to pretend to be you, but like the platform itself is like, oh, well, if Kyle joins, he's already going to have this many holders and be worth this much. The reason I don't like it is because like they're basically making fees off of your likeness and your image before you even agree to anything. So I don't know. I think that's kind of sketchy.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but what I do know about FriendTech is like it's driving a lot of the transactions on Base. So it's interesting to see these like in FriendTech, the racer guy, he knew that there's going to be other competing like platforms popping up and clones of his platform. And at one point he was like, if you go to use those, you know, basically like he's going to cancel your account. I think he walked that back. But yeah, we're seeing this play out in real time, obviously, with Solana apparently now. I think that one's actually more feasible because the transaction costs are so low. It's more comparable to Base. And there's actually probably a good significant amount of users on Solana, given it's been out a lot longer than Base. But yeah, like FriendTech's dominating Base. Like it's like the number one like driver of Base right now, which is kind of hilarious. Like a bunch of degens and creators and influencers are driving a lot of the transactions on Base. But
yeah, FriendTech saved my Base bags because I got on Base like as soon as it was available. Like I like transferred over before like the main bridge was live because I wanted to try to get some early trades because there's a lot of like meme coins on it and there's a lot of like projects that were popping off. I lost money on Base and I didn't buy the right things.
Yeah. Shout out to the Twitch commenter. We got somebody over on Twitch. I just want to give you some love over there, man. I usually stream a lot of games on Twitch and Kick, really, too. And yeah, so I just had to give a shout out to one of my commenters and
hey, oh yeah, subs. Dude, this is kind of wild. I see like on the side feed we have like LK coming in. He said found you through Xtreme, but commenting on YouTube. Got Banana Power. I've read that so weird because it's like Banana Power, yeah, off of Twitch. That's cool, man. Seeing YouTube, X, and Twitch all in the same place.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I'm curious, chat. Do you guys think Web3 games are going to be feasible long term, like with NFTs being mixed in, or do you think this is just another like money grab situation, or do you think indie developers can actually do something very well in terms of Web3 games? Curious what everybody's thoughts are. Drop that in the chat. But yeah, man, Solana, Frentech, it was it called? There's two of them now. I heard of Post.tech or like Post. Yeah, I think it's like Post.tech.
Post-tech, yeah.
But I just saw Decrypt do an article on one called Frenzy. So I'm like,
I imagine that NFT project that rugged like a year ago that was like pumped by like every known influencer. They raised like 20 million plus in VC funding and just like kind of disappeared. Do you remember that, Frenzies?
No, I don't know if that's I remember that one. Yeah. There were so many rugs last year, bro, in terms of NFT projects. Like it was literally hard to keep track of them all. At one point I literally quit minting projects at one point. I was like, they're all going to go to not zero, but a lot of them are just going to be like more collectible, and the founders just don't have vision in a lot of these projects or like roadmaps or anything. So I was just like, no, thank you.
Bro, it's wild to think that we were so early to Frentech. This happens to me so much. We're so early to Frentech. Like literally we could have like closed our eyes, threw darts and like 20X. And I just didn't put a lot of money in. Like I put like, I think like 0.02 ETH in, and I think my portfolio is worth like 0.15, not including my trading fees. But I just bought like my friends and like people I knew and liked. Yeah. Like I just bought I didn't buy off of speculation. Kind of going back to that real quick. Like I meant to say why I agreed with you. I like the general concept of Frentech, and I still think as a future. Trevor, he's the guy I work for Ninja Alerts for. I really respect his opinion on things. He's been a successful entrepreneur and founder, not just in the Web3 space, but in the Web2 space. And he made a point basically saying that every time something survives a cycle, it has a larger chance to make it the next cycle. He said it a better way, but essentially like, it makes it less gimmicky and less of a not necessarily a scam. I forgot the word he used, but basically Frentech already survived one wave. You know, they already survived the wave where me and you were talking about it, and then it died off and everybody's like, look, it's a Ponzi, it's dead. And now they made another wave. And honestly, this wave will probably fiddle out, but if they come back the next wave, it's making higher lows. If you know anything about trading, higher lows is always a good sign. So it's less chance of failure every time it gets through a cycle and continues to go to the next cycle. So I don't know, but the main thing I was going to reaffirm though is like people, I literally sent you a DM to this the other day, Kyle. People are like, I'm so cheap, you need to sweep my floor. I'm worth 0.05 right now. We're going to 0.1 tomorrow. It's like there's been NFT projects sued for less, for speculation and saying because you buy this, the price is going to go up. I think it needs to be more so I'm going to give you this value or not going to give you this value of like, or here's what I'm going to do for my Frentech. Not necessarily like this is where our price is going. You know, it's not like a, hey, sweep the floor. It's like, hey, I'm going to provide you access to this tool, or hey, I'm going to try to do some alpha calls, or hey, like I did a coffee bag giveaway for mine and I didn't market it outside of Frentech. I just did it within Frentech saying, hey guys, thanks for getting my keys. I'm going to give away some coffee. So I did. Shout out to lockandload.eth. He's the one that won the coffee. He got it 2 days ago.
Yo, we got Grime. Is it Grime or in the chat? It says, can we rename the stream to Copium Stream? I love that.
Yeah, I like that too. He's got the SpongeBob.
Sometimes you just got to laugh, dude. Sometimes you just got to laugh at things and not take everything too serious. And, you know, going back to just like our NFTs dead, it's just like for me, I just stopped buying them. Like, you know, and I think that's where a lot of people were, considering the volume compared to last year. We went over the data at the beginning of the stream, is like I just stopped buying them, and I think the volume shows like a good portion of people did the same thing. So I don't think, I think everything's kind of affected in a basket like that. Like when people are in the chat right now talking about VV, like VV might have support with comics folks. And somebody asked, do you think VV and DC NFT are profitable? It's hard to say, man, you know, because they have overhead of expenses. Like, you know, you have to pay all your employees. VV's hired a lot. They could be at like a kind of a, what is it? Like a net zero kind of close to, I'm sure they're profitable, but it might be kind of not as big as we might think. They could just be, because when you're, again, when you're building and trying to have a better app, a better ecosystem, launch, you know, the VVverse and do all these things, that's going to have a hard capital cost to do that. So it's hard to say that I'm sure, obviously, I think they're building. But like when your sales volume is down, that's across the entire NFT space. And, you know, VV's probably affected by that a little bit, not as much as some of the other platforms out there probably, but
yeah, listen, I work for Bitcoin Frontier Fund. We're currently giving projects, founders that are building on Ordinals, which I'm not going to explain what that is. If you're not familiar, it's very similar to NFTs. We're giving projects $100,000 right now to like, fund them, to kickstart them. And people are building, people are literally like quitting their jobs or like, have been going full-time Web3 for a while and like going all out on this. So like to see like true builders like grinding it out, to see true investors grinding it out and like putting these bets into like these fields, I just like, I guess I'm like a little bit more confident than the average person. I know I'm going to skip two of our topics. We can come back to it. But this project that I was, that I bought a long time ago, and I've been playing their game, Pirate Nation, they are backed by a studio called Proof of Play. Proof of Play just raised $33 million. Like, that's insane. Like, that's a lot of money for this market. And so obviously like Pirate Nation like was affected by that. Pirate Nation has team members that are from EA Sports, team members that are from Zynga. Zynga just launched their own NFT project called Sugartown. It was a free mint. It minted out. I don't know the current floor price. It got all the way up to almost half an ETH. I think it dropped back down to between the 0.3 and 0.4 range. If you're not familiar with ETH, I think that's like, I don't know what that is right now, like $600-ish. So yeah, I don't know. Like this has been a great few weeks for DeFi NFTs, other than like, we didn't even talk about this. I don't think we put it on here, Kyle. We'll go to it later. The freaking $200 million hack over, what was the name of the network? Hong Kong's so-called decentralized network, the Mixin. The Mixin network. Let's talk about that later. But yeah, anyways, I want to read what Grime responded with. Shouldn't NFTs be a better way of implementing copyright rather than making it a gambling scene where people see as get rich quick scheme? Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think at the end of the day, NFT is just the underlying technology. So like kind of placing it as like this like blanket statement of like speculative assets or X, Y, or Z, like NFT is like just the tech that all this stuff is built on. So it kind of just depends on what the crowd makes of it.
Yeah, for sure, man. But like you said, there's still a lot of money getting floated around in the space, a lot of VC money going in, and game studios, publishers still pumping out like money or raising money and stuff like that. So it was cool to see Proof of Play raised $33 million in Pixels, moved over to Ronin Chain. I wanted to talk about like a little bit of that activity as well. So people again are saying, you know, NFTs dead? Well, look at the macro of what's going on. Like Web3 gaming is driving a lot of the transaction, SocialFi driving a lot of the transaction. That just goes to show you that people are still here. People are still active and doing things, and it may not be buying every single, minting out every single project or buying everything like on a day-to-day basis, but what people are doing is they're over there maybe on Frentech goofing off a little bit, I don't know, or they're actually like in Pixel game. And I'm going to bring up this like little footage that I caught here on X and pull that up here on the screen and show you guys what I'm talking about. But yeah, apparently it was like this like kind of record breaking party in Pixels. Let me go ahead and pull this up here and zoom in. If we take a look at this video, you can see like there's just hundreds of people in this like little tiny area, and I don't know why it's like not zooming in like normally, but well, now this is like a little pixelated game, and I'm gonna stop sharing because it's like such bad quality there. The point being is gamers are like in these games being immersed. That game is driving 1.5 million transactions per month. That is insane. So
wow.
Again, like these platforms, you take a look at these different games and the macro of NFT space, like there's definitely a lot of activity still going on in the bear market. And so my prediction is like in the next bull market, we're going to see like exponential growth. And of course, like not all these games will survive. There's games out there that unfortunately won't make it. But there's definitely going to be a lot of outliers that do make it. And, you know, there's going to be indies that developed from the ground up in this space that will make it as well. But, you know, it's kind of like the .com era where, you know, a lot of websites and companies went bust. But a lot of them that went through the whole process, the journey, and built a real company, those are the ones that, you know, became the next Amazon, the next pet.com or whatever, the actual pet.com. I think the actual first one actually went bust, but pets.com or whatever it's called now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that. Couple things before we move on. We have we have some new viewers today because like we're on X, we're not usually on this. So thank you guys for watching. I don't know if you found us through like the little pink tab or my share or whatever. But we talk about NFTs, macro crypto, and we talk about Web3 gaming and AI all in these segments. And then we have a newsletter that recaps everything in like a 3-minute read that we usually send out a couple hours after the stream on Mondays. So just kind of filling you guys in. We got a couple more big topics in the NFT and crypto space. And then we're going to talk about some AI because there's been some really cool things happening with AI this week. So
we got some good comments in the chat too. Just FYI, some good ones.
Which ones? It says,
shouldn't NFTs be a better way of implementing copyright rather than making it a gambling scene where people see it as a get rich quick? Yeah. So my answer to this one is pretty simple. Right now the space is nascent, which means it's really early. We're still seeing contracts being built, like the smart contracts, the code behind these NFTs, the royalties being built in. You know, I've talked to Gabe Layden about this on X. He's responded to me. He thinks a lot of the companies out there, a lot of especially games, are going to like adopt his smart contract that basically allows the smart contract to allow your collection to be on certain marketplaces so you can get royalties. So I think we're it's cliche and everybody always says that we're early, but we really are in terms of this technology and where it could go. And like this person was saying, shouldn't NFTs be a better way of implementing copyright? I think that it will be as well. Like, we're already seeing it. Like DC came down. I don't know why I got on a royalties tangent for some reason, but when he was talking about copyright, but I just went there. We've seen DC in the past issue like cease and desist. So when it's on the blockchain, it's probably much easier to do that, to implement copyright. And he's like, I get where they're coming from because they don't see, they're not like probably in the space as much as we are. So they don't really see the cease and desist. And like Yuga has even issued cease and desist. So there is actually a lot of protection.
Against Columbo.
Yeah. And not only that, Ryder Rips got sued and lost with his whole copyright. So there still actually is a lot of protection in the space. So don't let people fool you into thinking there's not protection. Like you can't just go off and dupe like Batman because you'll get sued. Like, you know, don't do that.
It depends on the copyright, whatever rules of the project beforehand. So like, I if you'd asked me this a year ago, I'd have known better. I just haven't thought about it in a year. But like Bored Ape specifically, you're still limited on like certain aspects of it. It's not, I'm forgetting the name for it, but it's not like you can, it's not CCO. Whatever the name is, but there's certain things you still can't do. So you technically don't own the rights to every aspect of it. So like the whole Columbo thing was a very interesting example. So Columbo had his Bored Ape. And like on an, I don't remember which part of the clothing it was, but on his Bored Ape was the Bored Ape Yacht Club logo. So Columbo was thinking like, oh, well, if I have it on my ape and I own the IP rights to my ape, then I should be able to use every aspect of it. So he essentially used the logo that was like on the hat, let's say, of his ape to make some kind of like financial, like open edition or something like that. And yeah, they ordered a cease and desist for him to take it down because he didn't have rights to that, even though he had rights to the ape. And Riders was a little different. Riders was just like, let me take all the apes and like,
and duplicate them and
duplicate them.
Say it's art, like, yeah, it's an art movement and stuff like that.
it's not I'm selling the token, you know, I'm selling the underlying token to the art. I'm not really selling the art, you know, all the art does is just point back. I don't know.
It was a weird, like it would have had repercussions to the entire space if he won. Like then at that point, copyright would probably be a big issue, but he lost. So it set a little bit of a precedence there. So let's move on to some other topics as well.
I want to talk about Mixon for
before we get really? There. Yuga moved away from Improbable. Any thoughts there? Because that was a big deal about them building out their MMO, their metaverse, or kind of like, you know, I guess experience like that they, I don't know. I think the kind of idea there was to have experiences. You could play games, but also like have a concert. I think Fortnite was kind of the end goal, in my opinion, but like more of a more accessible like Fortnite, like where you could just go to a browser, open it and be in the other side. But they had ditched Improbable, apparently, is what it looks like, and moved into a different company. Do you think that this is like a precedence that there's basically going to be delays and we might not see the other side for quite some time? Do you have any thoughts on this whole move with Yuga Labs?
Have they announced this, or is this just a speculation still? I saw Jonah write a thing on it, because I guess
basis
for it.
So I can pull it up. It's in the doc as well. But the tweet is official that they have new strategic partnerships. So we can kind of extrapolate, like I'll pull it up here on screen for everybody to see.
Oh, so basically they announced their strategic partnerships, but didn't include Improbable in there.
Yeah. So they're using the Hadia Inc here, which is exactly what Improbable does. So you can kind of take an educated guess like that. And plus, based on what the Improbable, like one of the employees said, like he mentioned, I think it was like one of the like CEOs or founders or something. I don't know who he was, but Jonah was saying that like they said basically that they didn't know that this was happening and that they're going to do some MLB activation. So apparently like it's kind of softly confirmed. I don't want to say fully confirmed, but that's allegedly confirmed that this is kind of safe to say that they're moving away from Improbable, probably because Improbable can't like deliver fully yet. And maybe a timely manner of the other side possibly. But you can see here, we deliver transformative AI spatial computing applications for immersive Web3 experiences that seamlessly bridge physical and virtual worlds. That's exactly what Improbable does. And they employed other partnerships here. Excelbyte for the back end of the game. They have Bad Rhino Studios coming in for the Unreal Engine developer, it looks like. And then they have Fairway GG, which maybe be more avatar-driven stuff. Game studio and publisher building interoperable player-driven universes. So they may be helping out in terms of some of the aspects as well in-game. But yeah, this is saying we'll propel the development of other side meta. So it's more than just a rumor. This is kind of like putting Improbable on kind of full blast here, front and center.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know, man. I haven't really kept up with it. My only exposure to the ecosystem is the Rec League, which isn't really their ecosystem. You know, it's kind of just using their IP.
Well, I think it too, it's like the reason why I bring it up is because like everybody is kind of hoping that the other side will just be really good for the space, especially a lot of Web3 gamers, because Yuga was kind of being the leader here. You know, Legends of Mara, they had, like you said, Rec League. They have the Clicker thing. What was that thing called? Heavy Metal. And so kind of the whole thing is like we really want this to like do good, because it sets a good precedence for the rest of the space, because they get so much attention that, you know, if the other side does well, then kind of everything, it like lifts all other boats around it. Like it's like a rising tide lifts all boats. So that was kind of the idea here and why it's important to a lot of people. But it's very interesting. I think this is kind of a setback. I think it's a setback that's probably a good move for Yuga, because now they can actually build something relatively probably quicker now. So I do think that this is not an entire setback, but it is kind of like a bummer, like, oh man, now we're going to have to wait a little bit longer. But it is what it is in gaming. Sometimes that happens. We've seen it with Cyberpunk. They should have probably waited a little bit longer. And now Cyberpunk looks amazing.
Yeah,
it looks like a freaking metaverse. Like, it's insane, bro. Like, the graphics. Anyways.
Well, some good, exciting news. Let's see if my jingle will play through here. Do you hear it? I'm gonna take that as a no. Pirate Nation, which I talked about earlier, that raised the $33 million in VC funding through A16. Oh, I didn't even mention this, Kyle. One of the biggest parts of this is they picked up on board on their team the former CEO and co-founder of Twitch. Pirate Nation did, or Proof of Play did. That's a big deal. Of Twitch.
They did
Twitch? What? You ever heard of Twitch?
Say that again.
They picked him up. Pirate Nation did. The former CEO and co-founder of Twitch on the team for Proof of Play.
Yeah. I mean, is it Justin Kahn? Who is it? Because Justin's already in the space. He co-founded Fractal. I think it's called Fractal Marketplace, which is like, it's like Magic Eden, but for like Web3 games, and they've expanded. Okay, that's interesting. I know the current CEO or like of Twitch right now, like a lot of people are liking this guy because he's really improving Twitch. The former one, I'm not really sure on that guy. Like, I haven't streamed to Twitch long enough to know, but I do know, like, I think most people are consensusly liking the new CEO on Twitch. But nonetheless, that's very cool because now he's got to bring his expertise in there.
It's funny. I brought that up before I even saw this, but literally 2 minutes ago, Proof of Play, the studio I'm talking about, posted that they're going to go live with Emmett tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central Time.
You go, Grime. There you go. Is it great? How would you pronounce that, Chris? You pronounce it. You're from Louisiana. You could probably pronounce it the right way. You got better education.
Graham, of course. Graham. But what I was going to say earlier is right now, if you go to Pirate Nation, like the official, they have 45.7 thousand followers. They're affiliated with Proof of Play, blah, blah. They're doing a giveaway for a one-of-one ship, which even if you don't play the game, you could probably just like sell it. So there's some alpha for a giveaway.
No, not financial advice, though.
That's free. So if you're interested in that, all right. I really want to talk about this Mixin network, man. They had a $200 million loss yesterday, and the headlines were a little misleading. Just in, Mixin network, a decentralized crypto network, has been hacked with $200 million confirmed stolen. I don't know about you, but to me, that points to a decentralized crypto network being the problem with this. However, the same person that wrote that post also wrote the article behind the post, or at least part of their team did. And if you read the article, it actually says that the community found out that it looks like the vulnerability point, I can't say that word for some reason, is actually the centralized database that they use to store the money on. So this isn't a problem with decentralization. This is a problem with the little bit of centralization that the decentralized crypto network had in it.
Yeah, this sounds typical. I'm not really familiar with Mixin. I've heard of them, I think, briefly before. In the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, I think I've heard of that. But I don't know. This one's kind of an obscure one. That's a lot of money to lose. And like you said, this is typical. It seems like these protocols and kind of bridges have been like fallen prey to hackers in the past. A lot of them are just not secure from a multitude of reasons, whether it's the multi-sig and these founders are just like leaving the multi-sig, like leaving all the keys like on their desktop. And so like, I think that's how one of them got hacked. And then this one is like, obviously you said it's centralized. I don't know enough about this one. It is breaking news though. It's a lot of money. I mean, $200 million. That's nothing to shake a fist or nothing to like ignore it. So, I mean, yeah, it's not a good look for the space. And like, there's so many hacks all the time with like multi-millions of dollars being hacked. And it's just like a sad bummer. Like, oh, just like let's keep adding to the bear market right now. Like, it's just like one of those things to like keep adding. Just
yeah, it's like every time I feel negative. Like there's a little momentum, it's like this like random like giant hack. And apparently, like right before we went live, there was another exchange that I've never heard of before that was also exploited.
Yeah,
let's see. I think it was $8 million. Yeah. Top cryptocurrency exchange, Huobi, suffered a loss of 5,000 Ethereum, which is $8 million due to a hacker attack. It probably was the same group of hackers that did both.
I feel like most of the hackers that like come from the same place. It's like how I feel like because you need like a certain level of skill to like do that stuff. And I think there's been reports of like the Lazarus group always hacking people. I think somebody did an article. They have like 40 million or 50 million in their like in their stash. It's like, that's a lot of money, man. They can employ like, you know, more people or something. I don't know. I don't want to keep talking about it. I feel like they're going to hack me. Like if I keep saying it,
Kyle said he's testing you. Bet.
No. What they need to do is like subscribe to our alpha newsletter.
Oh my goodness.
That show was the greatest, bro. All right, so moving on to another topic is AI. What's up with that, man? We got a lot of news around that. You know, Google's doing stuff. Yeah. OpenAI is doing stuff. Microsoft is doing stuff. Quibblecop is doing stuff. That guy. We have a lot to get into, man, on AI.
Sure. We also didn't talk about, we can go back to it though, the Cryptopolis. Fox, it was backed by Fox News, I think. It was one of those news
like
stations.
It aired.
And Fox. Nobody's talking about it or cares about it, it seems. But this is an overpriced NFT mint last year. I think it was like 0.2, 0.25 Ethereum. Gives you these little characters, and essentially the benefit to having the characters was it gives you a vote in the show. Unfortunately, it looks like that the vote in the show was like pretty insignificant and like didn't really affect anything. So, and if you paid, you know, a couple hundred bucks for this thing, and it just kind of had like insignificant upside, which that's at least what I'm hearing here. Did you read anything else, Kyle? I remember this mint, by the way. I remember people talking about it. I was like, oh, that looks really cool. It was just too high of a mint for the market we were in for me to care about it.
Oh, that no. So yeah, I read into that too. I didn't know about it. It was probably the time I was like, I'm not buying anything anymore, and I don't care if it remotely sounds okay. So it probably just went right off my radar, and I was like, you know what? I do remember this one. I was like, Crapopolis. I was like, nah, I don't know. Like too much for me. And I'm not like a big Rick and Morty fan. I know a lot of people are. But that, I don't know. It's just not my like cup of tea, but, and the mint, like you said, was like super high.
I don't like the founders of Rick and Morty. I don't, Justin Roiland and, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you could. And yeah, I guess you could kind of say that.
And then Art Gobblers was like, dude, that was disaster in the space. I tried to warn everybody about that. And I got like threatened and like my, like whatever for like saying, hey guys, stop buying this at 20 ETH. And I don't even know what it's at now. I guarantee you it's under like half an ETH. It's probably actually, I'm going to look it up while we're, and
we'll, I mean, it's cool. Like in the macro things, it's cool that like, you know, a project was that is doing something like is on TV now. Granted, like the utility is like not that big of a deal. Like I think you get a vote like on like a color of like a light and a scene, stuff like that. Like, I mean, I don't know if you like that kind of stuff, it's for you, like fandom. I get it. DC is doing that with like the Bat Cows, like, you know, you provide feedback to the comic, you know. I think DC is more in depth actually than this Crapopolis. Like I think DC was way more in depth with it, but yeah, like fandoms are cool. Like I don't see a problem with that, but it just wasn't my cup of tea here.
Our Goblins is at 0.1 ETH and it's at almost 50,000 Ethereum volume, which is
it's kind of like the butt end of jokes and spaces sometimes I hear. Like I I've just heard it. It's not coming from me. It's just like, what about those Art Gobblers? Like, and people are like always digging, putting digs on it. Not to say like it's, hey, not me. I just hear that in spaces.
I had somebody like threaten my YouTube channel. They're like, it was like some Bored Ape holder, and like he's like basically threatened to come after my channel because like I made a video talking about how like whatever. I don't want to open up old wounds. We got about 12 minutes okay. left. Let's talk about some AI.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of updates, man. And even
ChatGPT and DALL-E 3 was like pretty big deal to me. So ChatGPT is what's up?
I was gonna say just before we get started on that, I guess the strike has ended now, like the actor strike or something. So that's a big deal. Just want to throw that out there.
Good news. Yeah. So they
allegedly. I mean, I'll have to actually confirm.
What was the conclusion?
So. I don't know. I haven't even seen it. It's like was breaking news. I'll look it up as you're talking.
Do I need to hit my little button again?
And then start talking.
All right. So the ChatGPT and DALL-E 3 was a pretty big deal. So basically ChatGPT is allowing you to be able to prompt images now, similar to Midjourney. It's not going to be nearly as intricate as Midjourney. I would consider Midjourney for like AI artist, and I would consider what I'm looking at ChatGPT to be more for like the common user. Basically, what they did is they prompted a story about this hedgehog. I don't even remember the hedgehog's name, and they made it into like a children's book. And like each like little section, they would say like, "I want to see this hedgehog's house," and they would like show the hedgehog like in a house and be like, "All right, now can you show him like sleeping?" And it shows him sleeping. And it was like really cute images. And I imagine you can really get creative with this, and people are going to get creative with this and like use prompts to prompt the images. So that's a really big deal. And that's coming soon. ChatGPT and DALL-E, it's going to be a plugin. I've already used ChatGPT plugins, and they're phenomenal. You do have to have the paid ChatGPT. So I use Canva, which I actually have a video on. I'll show my video right here on how to make like Mr. Beast style thumbnails using a plugin via ChatGPT for Canva. And then I use the CapCut one, which makes videos, but it's not very good. So that was breaking news. That was a really big deal. The second ChatGPT update was by Sam Altman, the founder. It literally happened right before we went live. They're introducing a voice model. So I guess essentially ChatGPT is going to be able to read to you now. You've probably seen videos of people like pretending that it's reading by like using this like robotic voice or whatever, but it's actually going to have its own voice program now. It kind of reminds me of, we're pretty familiar with Luna Labs. So Luna Labs, you like type in like a script, and like Luna Labs like reads you the script. So I think ChatGPT is going to do something similar to this, to where it's actually able to read this to you, which is gonna be really cool. So essentially, if you add these two things together, you could be like, "Hey AI, can you write me this like kid's bedtime story?" It'll write the story, it'll have images, and it'll read it to you. So like that's pretty freaking insane, man. Like all that together.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of updates. So on the strike, just a quick update on that. It does look like they came to like a 3-year contract deal. I think it's like the Writers Guild and some other guild as well. So that's going to be big news. And I think that's like tentative. So I think they may need more votes. I'm not quite 100% sure. Again, this is kind of like breaking news. Again, this was around like some of the topics were around AI, the likeness, and like all this other crazy stuff that was going on. You know, I don't know in-depth details because that's not my industry. I like to keep an eye on. But it is like pretty big news in the macro, considering, you know, I guess like considering if you have a Netflix account and watch TV and stuff. But anyways, this is what it looks like for the Google side of things. So Google is doing a multitude of things as well to really speed up and compete with OpenAI. So it says here in the tweet, Google's integrating its workspace suite with Google Bard. They've already done so. So you might check that if you're using Google Bard. You can integrate your Gmail, your Docs, and actually right inside Bard, you can do prompts that are like, you know, "Hey, what did Chris say in an email like last week about ChatGPT?" And it'll like tell you. And then like, so it's kind of like your personal assistant truly with all your Google products. So it's kind of like, it's kind of neat. But anyways, yeah, like you said, OpenAI is trying to outflank Google Bard. They know things are coming. They know Microsoft as well is doing things as well. We can see, this is kind of what Bard is doing right here. What dates did Eric propose in the email? And you can see workspace finding emails or assessing emails, and then it'll come back to you with what would you call that? What it comes back with the answer or solution. And then you can see here, show me flights to Phoenix, and then boom, Google flights, Google hotels, and then it'll shoot you out like the best dates, times, and prices, which is kind of neat. And Google already is a dominant player, so that's something to be aware of. And even Microsoft Copilot launches, I think, tomorrow, which is huge because you can do like a simple prompt, Chris, and it actually, like in one of Microsoft's like apps, and they're also integrating it with their entire like workspace apps. I don't know what they call it, but like in the slideshow app, you can, or I think it's just Microsoft Word, you can do a prompt and it'll make this like entire slideshow for you with just based off of a single prompt. So it's like super powerful stuff, similar to what Google Bard's doing. And of course, OpenAI, they're having unique tools as well. So the AI race is heating up, man. It is wild out there.
I'm sold on GPT for now. I need to try Bard out more. Graham said that Bard is disappointing using it as a coding assistant. You know, I imagine that a lot of them are just going to be like, they're going to have like some type of like separation, like, oh, ChatGPT stronger at this, Bard stronger at this, you know. So right now it looks like Bard's trying to take the way and like real-time data and like without having to use like a ChatGPT plugin.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whereas like ChatGPT is just better, you know, it's more advanced at like problem solving and thinking and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree. So that's what the Google Gemini is, though, is to compete with OpenAI directly with ChatGPT. Is they're dropping like an actual like ChatGPT level intelligence. So it'll be interesting. Google Gemini is what they're calling it. And then, of course, there's Microsoft. They're dropping Copilot, which that is another crazy. And that's kind of really using OpenAI, I think, with Copilot. So it's really going to benefit OpenAI. And check this out, Chris. Like, you saw this as well. This is a creator using his own AI. This whole video, as you know.
I hear y'all talking at the same time. Can you mute it?
Yeah. This whole video, as you know, is not really him. It's AI.
Yeah. You told me, since I think your tweet said it, I wish I would have seen the video without like reading your tweet first to see if like I would have caught on. It was very easy to tell that's AI knowing that it was AI going into it. But if I just like came across the video, I probably would have never thought about it. But like, yeah,
looks pretty good. Like watching it, knowing, like, of course you can notice like little bitty things, but like, I don't know. This is pretty shocking. We're talking about the tip of the iceberg. Like, this is just the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna get wild, man.
So that's his like V1 right here, this little cartoon guy.
Hilarious.
People were laughing at that like when he first released it. So in this video he talks about it, he's like, yeah, the V1, I released it, like y'all were making fun of me, and like, you know, basically, you know, it is kind of stupid, but like, you know, it's just an avatar. I mean, the concept is cool, like it's like, okay, that's pretty ingenious, but to make it look ultra like realistic just like him. Now we're talking like on a different level here.
I like how he was just unapologetically like, this is what I'm going to do. I don't care what you guys have to say. Because like, even he did it in a nice transition. Like, he's basically like, look, you guys told me to stop using AI. So I did it to where I can trick you using AI. And I took in all your opinions on why you were saying I shouldn't use AI. And I integrated that into my new AI model. So it was a very gentle, like, I hear you. I don't care. And that's kind of how I feel about people like Kira and Nikos, which I guess their comment got hit or deleted about Ponzi's are dead, move on. Victims of blockchain. That's how I feel about you, you know? Like, I hear your opinion. I don't care. Go watch something better. There's two things brought up. Yeah, last week we saw the Courtyard Pokemon NFT. I know we were on an AI topic, but this is brought up in chat by Frank Arcia. Originally said, can't wait for the Pokemon drop on the 27th, but then said, Courtyard, what are your thoughts? That was one topic that we could talk about in these last few minutes.
Bart is disappointing. Yeah.
So like the Pokemon thing was a pretty big topic last week, because basically the Pokemon drop via Courtyard was you buy these packs, and the packs are like proof of ownership of the physical card. So you can either like burn the NFT to redeem the physical card, including the grade, or you can just keep the NFT and sell that NFT. And then that person who buys it could then claim the physical card. Me and you have contrary opinions on this, Kyle. What's your opinion on it?
Well, I don't necessarily. So I found this platform a while ago, and I've been going for the drops, but they sell out like instantly. So like, I like the concept, but it's one of those things where, number one, I sandbagged it and I didn't tell anybody because I was trying to go for the Pokemon cards.
Including
Chris, because Chris tweets everything. If you tell Chris, he'll tweet it like immediately. There's no hiding alpha from Chris, because he'll tweet it. So I've been sandbagging this one, and I've been just trying it out, like testing it. And really, they only had like the beginning drops only had like 50 like editions. So it wasn't like a bunch. Like, it was like literally, if you told a friend, that was your competition. So it was like, because only 50 people or less were going to get that drop. So the concept in itself is cool. Like, I like to see it. But one thing that I will mention is eBay already does this, but in Web2 fashion. They already have like a vault with your, so you can ship your vault, you can ship your collectible into eBay. They'll store it in their like super climate controlled facility, where you know it's safe, and you can literally just trade the JPEG version, the Web2 version, across their platform, and not have to worry about like it ever getting damaged. Like you don't have to worry. So it's like basically eBay's acting as a bank. And again, eBay's been around for a long time. So I can't imagine they're just going to like fold up shop and be like, oh, Courtyard, look out. And they already have NFTs integrated in eBay. So it's like at any moment they could just flip a switch and be like, us too, me too. So I don't know. I'm like, this is a cool platform. I love like natively built like platforms like this, but you have incumbents. That's like, I don't disagree or anything. It's just like one of those takes where I'm like, yeah, it's going to be hard to beat the incumbents is my thoughts.
Sure. The only benefit I see to it is allowing people that might not normally have access to the market, access to an open market. But eBay could do that. You know, eBay could say, hey, we're going to tokenize these and put them on chain, do what you want, but we're still going to be the, like, when you burn it and you go to trade it in, we're still going to be the place you need to do that with.
Another thing to consider is like the SEC, like, I know like Courtyard is just like, they're not promoting the actual NFT token as a financial contract or anything like that. They're just promoting the NFT that represents the underlying asset, which is a Pokemon card or whatever they decide. Like they could expand out to other things other than just cards. But like at any moment, like what if the SEC was just like, but like, since it's, you know, like you're expecting like a gain here, like would the SEC deem that as a security? So that's like another thing too, is like, that there's so much not clarity, like the opposite of clarity, like everything is just so muddy because the SEC literally just won't publish any guidelines, like both crypto and NFTs, and they're just regulating by enforcement. Like that's a scary thought.
Yeah, I mean, people will buy outside of financial incentive, but I mean, yeah, I do think that there's financial incentive there. It would be really cool if Pokemon was like on board with it. And like you could kind of have a separate, like, hey, if you own this NFT and you don't want to burn it for a physical, you can take it and play this, like, you can play TCG with it and, you know, like have your own deck and it all be on chain and win on chain prizes. Like that would be really cool, but it's not, to my knowledge, it's weird. It's not officially backed by Pokemon, but surely they had to get some type of approval, like, to do this. Like you would think, like, even the Polygon team is like talked to, like team members talked about the drop and talked about Courtyard, so like, because it's on Polygon, so like I don't know, you would think that they like got approval for it, but if not, we're about to see like a huge DMCA.
Yeah, I'm not really sure on the licensing either, because it's like technically you're not selling the Pokemon IP, you're just selling, it's just like eBay is able to sell Pokemon cards on there because they're not selling the brand or the IP, they're selling the actual physical asset. So I don't know what that looks like. I'm not an expert on that kind of stuff, but I do see like people are in the chat saying like NFTs work really well with physical assets, and I do agree. You have Fidgetal, so there's a couple things like you could do with it. Like you could drop Fidgetals where you have like a statue and like you could scan it and then like it mint the NFT. Stuff like that's really cool. The deed, I actually used that example years ago, like back in like 2018 or 2017, about NFTs as well. So I think some deeds have actually been minted into NFTs. I know some homes have been sold like in the crypto space or in the NFT space, I thought. So yeah. I think we'll see.
I think South Carolina was the first one, which is weird. Like, I wouldn't expect like a Southern home to be the first, but
I think we may see that, but it's going to be like a custodied system. You know, I don't know if we'll see like you can just do whatever with your deed and like lose your deed. I don't think
I'll
it'll be
my
like
coffee shop. I'll sell my coffee shop as a tokenized asset if somebody overpays for it.
I don't think it'll be like the Wild West where like you just can do whatever you want with your deed and like accidentally like lose it to a scam. Like I don't think it's
gonna buy my shop with ETH,
but I do think it's a good account system. Like you have crypto with a ledger, crypto's a ledger blockchain, and NFT can kind of be like that secondary like layer of a ledger system where it like is accounting for stuff. Proppy is doing
you're gonna buy estate. My coffee shop on chain, Kyle
says Frank Garcia. I think that's cool. A cool concept. You should go into that more a little bit. We talked about it before on a, where did we talk about that? We talked about it recently. Was it on a space or
talked about what? The coffee shop thing?
Yeah, we talked about, oh yeah, it was the roundtablers.
Roundtablers.
Yeah, yeah. Like you putting the coffee shop on actually Bitcoin as an ordinal. I think that's a cool concept.
Yeah, man. Just, you know, do something that's not very innovative, but get paid more for it. It's nice.
Yeah. A couple of hot takes.
I'm joking, of course, but it is kind of funny. I feel like sometimes I see people try to like insert crypto or blockchain to where it's just not really solving a problem. And if it's not solving a problem, then to me, it just doesn't really seem necessary. Maybe the whole Courtyard thing is like that. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I haven't been around the company enough. And I think if everything's legal and approved, and then they could maybe do other things with these tokenized assets, I could see the benefits in that.
100%. Yeah.
But other than that, it does feel like if eBay is doing it this way, then what's the point of tokenizing it? I don't know. Yeah. But for property,
Go ahead.
I was saying for like property, like real estate and stuff, I just see like less paperwork, less middleman, use of Ethereum smart contracts or whichever smart contracts, and then soulbound the token, or maybe even still have whatever. Like I could see that, you know. Instead of filing out layers and layers of paperwork, going through like tons of middlemen that are taking, you know, profit, taking a lot of profit from you off of their percentages, like.
Man, we may get to a place with AI is like we have like 50 layers of like everything's just a verified asset on the chain somewhere, like either an NFT.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. Like, because like, how do you know like who's who, like in the digital world, like unless you're like double, triple, quadruple verified. And even then, like, I don't know. Like, I just see that getting like way crazy in the future.
Like, also, just the transparency of blockchain, man. Like, if I ask you right now, Kyle, like, are you married? And like, you're like, nah, bro, whoever's single hit me up. And I was like, all right, cool. Well, why on the blockchain does it say that you're married? And then they'd be like, oh, man. You know,
but somebody could lie. What about if they could lie, though, and be like, well, got a divorce like the other day? Like, what do you mean?
I think that's when we'll have the like,
or what do you
some
think?
Type of centralized point of like of authority, sort of like it branches from like this, like this is the government's like blockchain that they use or whatever, and it's verified on there that like, you know, your birth certificate.
Is that scary though? Is that like a little terrifying?
It just depends on what type of information. In my opinion, like I think for most information, I don't really understand why we keep private regardless. I don't vote for everything being transparent on the blockchain. The marriage thing was just the first thing that popped up in my head. It was kind of funny, but
see, the scary thing to me is where the slippery slope happens is when they can see everything you purchase, like when on a CBDC level, like central banking digital currency level. And then like, let's say that at one point the government gets a little like, you know, tyrannical at one point. Then they could be like, okay, we saw you purchase this thing, this object or whatever it may be. So we're going to put you on a blacklist now and you can't purchase anything anymore. Like, or you can't fly. We're like, you know, so like there is a point to where like it does pose a lot of danger for society. Like if you get to a point where the government's like that.
All right.
Powerful.
Here's the thing though. And we probably end on this because we're a little bit over. If they can see us, then we should be able to see them. If we can see them, there's a lot more that's going to come out than if they can see us. So
that's true, but like
happened because of that.
Right. But then they have their ways and we're already seeing it right now. If you ask me, like you have politicians that have been career politicians for like decades and they make like a meager salary, but their net worth is like multi-millionaires. It's like, how did that happen? Like,
find out how it happened in our newsletter below, Alpha Media Labs. It's going to go live in a couple hours and Kyle will give you the deets.
Yeah, a lot of deep topics, a lot of discussions. We got through a ton. We even got into some hot topics, which are probably not so hot in the scheme of things. Like, I think a lot of shows nowadays are just hot take city. But yeah, that's all we got for this one. Be on the lookout for the next podcast over on Chris's channel next week. And we'll be sure to be streaming to all the platforms here again. Thank you so much for everybody tuning in across all the channels, YouTube, Twitch, Kick, Twitter, formerly Twitter, now X, and all the above. Much appreciated. Oh, and last thing is we have audio. So if you guys just want audio piped directly into your ears on the way to work or while you're working or mowing the lawn or taking your kids to school, you can do that on Spotify or any like popular audio platform, podcasting platform. And that's all we got for this week. Touch grass, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you guys on Chris's channel next week. Peace.
Well, I just said that so quiet. My channel next week.
And we'll leave with that. Brought to you by Kyle Wilson and co-host Chris Coffey. What's going on, Chris? Welcome to the podcast. Today, we have a full lineup of some breaking news. First up, we have, are NFTs dead? Question mark. All right, we're going to be bringing a lot of facts and data to the table to present to you today. Mixon gets hacked for over $200 million. And there's other news like Solana FinTech question mark popping off. So a lot of info to cover today, a lot of ground and much more. Yuga switching to improbable or moving away from improbable. But Chris, man, what's going on? I saw your tweets this weekend. It looks like you have a new brand new device. What exactly new device do you have?
Bro, this is wild. Okay. Before I go into the device, I'm watching us on X right now. I mean, I know some people still get offended by using the word, the name of the platform. So I'll say Twitter for the old school people out there, but we're live, man. We're broadcasting. We got the, you can kind of see it on screen. Got the pink circle around your name. Probably going to be like pink up top where you would normally see spaces. We got Green Goblin in the house. Hey, good morning, boys. So this is pretty cool, man. This is our first live stream on X through this like new way of doing it, to where you can actually see it as a space. So super freaking cool. Kyle, I know you've been wanting this for a while.
Yeah, dude, I just tweeted that. Like, I literally begged and pleaded with the CEO of X. Like, I was like spamming her tweets with suggestions, and I was like, please, the live stream, like, please update the live stream. Please, like, streamers will definitely add value. And I was like posting it in their bugs and features community. I was posting on hers. I was posting on the X account. And finally, they upload, like, I tweeted that. Now, I don't know if they like saw my like tweet, but I like to think that they did, you know, who knows?
Sure, man.
But anyways, that's cool news. What's up with you though? You got a cool device over there waving it around. What is that?
I'm so interested that like how this new system is on X. I was just like, cause you can like comment now. Cause up until like last week, for those that don't know, you could live stream on X, but like it wasn't really integrated well. Like you could just kind of like put your video, your live stream on X, but like didn't pop up in the algorithms very well. Nobody really cared about it. Sorry, my kids are in the background. But now you can like comment, you can interact. It shows like the viewers on there. It pops up as spaces. That's a big deal. Anyways, I got the new iPhone 15. Let's go. My first time upgrading since the 12. A lot of people are like, why'd you upgrade? There's no difference between the 14 and the 15. You're right. There's not a big difference between the 14 and 15, but I'm coming from the 12. I get $450 trading credit for my like however many year old that phone is. And I'm already noticing a pretty big difference in like accessibility, functionality, just feels nicer. I'm trying to think of the most things that I use on this so far have been, there's some big features on here that I haven't used. Like I actually just saw one, I didn't even know it was a thing, to where this guy was videoing this like monument and he's like shaky on purpose. Like he's going like up and down, up and down. And then he ends up like showing you the video and it stabilized the entire video. So like it had the stabilizer on it. It's like really cool. And there's some other like, so I just took a screenshot of our X thing and it said share screenshot and broadcast. That's pretty freaking cool. So at any given point, if something cool happens, you can screenshot it and immediately broadcast that. I'm sorry. I'm like geeking out over this like X spaces.
You can screenshot it and broadcast it. Like what?
Yeah. So I didn't know that was a thing. Like right now, if I like screenshot, it immediately says share screenshot and broadcast. I'll actually go ahead and do that. Okay. So it just sends you to the screenshot that I just sent and then immediately starts to try to tweet it for you. I'm just going to, even though that's going to look super lame, for those of you that are live here, I'll just post it just so you can like kind of see what I'm talking about. That's pretty cool. Anyways, back to the iPhone, USB-C, which, you know, has its own set of like it being kind of annoying at times. But I actually just realized if for some reason I needed like another camera for my computer, my computer actually, like, you can use USB-C devices. I think I could plug in my USB-C to my phone and use it as like a backup camera or like B-roll or like even for this video. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know. Just still trying to figure out like all the features and stuff. I don't want to be on my phone this whole video, but we were talking about the new iPhone.
Yeah, and plus we got like a whole litany of topics to go over, but sure. It's really cool. Like the chat, I don't know why it's not showing the previous chat, but like you can see everybody popping in this morning, like you mentioned, Green Goblin, Eddie, and many others. So thank you so much for joining. Crazy stuff going on in the crypto and NFT space. So Chris, you have to tell us at the very end your final thought on the iPhone 15, if you like it or not. We're going to save that to the end, so you guys have to stick around for that. We're going to save the alpha for the very end. I think that will keep people around a little bit there. But are NFTs dead, man? I've been seeing this all over the news. Like literally every media company out there, mainstream media, is pumping this like this kind of narrative that NFTs are dead. Is this a conspiracy? What's going on? What's your thoughts on this? I know you got some good stuff going on.
You moved the camera, so like I'm not centered. I was OCD about it. Yeah, man. So last week, I think it was like Thursday, is when the article came out and every big account ever shared the article of NFTs being dead and being at zero. It was like shared by like Watcher Guru, Dexerto. It made like some other types of news headlines, Rolling Stones, like a lot of other ones. I was like one of the first ones I knew of that actually checked the source. Like, I mean, one, like you don't really need a source if you're in the communities. Just lost Kyle. I'll keep
going. No. I'm maximizing you, bro. Oh,
okay. Don't really need a source because like I'm here and I can tell you it's not dead. But I went and checked like the source, and a lot of people were like even like too afraid to even quote it because it was such like an insignificant article. It was from Dapp Gambler, which is like a crypto gambling platform. So they literally did this entire thing for clout. And the tests that they ran were really obscure, and they attacked NFTs from a lot of different angles, which is ironic because they're a crypto-based company. Easy wrote a really good thread on this. Should I share my screen or should I just talk about it?
Easy thread. Yeah, you can share your screen if you want.
Yeah, I thought it was a good thread, so I'll pull it up. I actually just shared it on mine, but let me see if I still can. I wonder. So will the shared screen show on X? I'm sure it will. GM, everybody, Green Goblin, Eddie, Ty, all of you. All right. So here's the Rolling Stones headline. Your NFTs are actually finally worthless. They basically analyzed like a collection that was an obvious rug, and it did go to zero. It went from like having a market cap of 669,000 ETH to a market cap of zero, which is just kind of like a random collection called Matt Connect that I've literally never even heard of before. And then they attacked it for NFTs being bad for the environment, which is always like a very weird argument, especially if you're American and like already doing like you're supporting corporations that are like are actually bad for the environment. And that's kind of what Easy brought up here. They were saying that there's like 200,000 NFTs that like nobody's holding or interacting with, and they're like, wow, this wasted 162,000 metric tons of CO2. Okay, that sounds bad on paper, but like in comparison to like airplanes in 2018, airplanes alone caused 1 billion tons of CO2. I don't know if you guys like understand the significant difference between like 100,000 and a billion, but it's like it's meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. 162,000 versus like 1 billion tons of CO2. Plus, we have layer two solutions for this. Like we talked about Immutable X for a long time. Basically, there's zero carbon output. A lot of layer twos are easier on the environment. So also a bad example. Most things that like I said earlier, like larger corporations that are running things, like this is insignificant amount compared to like what you're probably already supporting and not writing articles on. Here's more like frauds in the data. So basically Easy's like summation of all this is according to his data, he puts us at like, you know, we're not at 0%, we're at 5%. But I mean, I agree. I mean, like everybody could have, like a lot of people understood that, you know, a year or two ago that most NFT projects are going to fail. Like I would always laugh at people when they would say like, oh, 98% of projects are going to fail. I'm laughing because I see so many scam projects. I see so many projects that don't know what they're doing. I see founders that don't know what they're doing. So I'm like, no, like 99.8% of projects are going to fail. It's like, that doesn't surprise me that like, I mean, even 5% would be bullish to me.
Yeah, man. And I got something to also pull up real quick as well, just showing going over the actual numbers in the space. So let me go ahead and pull that up real fast. This is from Dapp Radar. So if you haven't used Dapp Radar before, it's like an analytics platform that monitors like every blockchain and like every NFT project, basically. But you can see down by the numbers here, the NFT industry as a overview last year versus this year, daily unique active wallets. You can see here in August was 314,000 and then trading volume 800 million last year. This year, 559. So definitely down a little bit there for sure. And you can see unique NFT traders at 700,000 unique traders versus last year, 977. Again, this makes sense, but are NFTs dead? This data shows otherwise. You can take a look here across the top blockchain NFT blockchains by trading volume. Ethereum is still majorly dominant. I mean, it's only like down by half. It says here $649 million in sales counts last month in August, but this year in August, it's $355 million. And you can see some of the top blockchains here. Immutable actually made the chart last month at $21 million. Polygon, Flow, and ZK Sync this year, topping those charts out. So be on the lookout for those up and coming other layer ones and layer twos as well out there. Don't be sleeping on those. A lot of people like to knock those and forget about them. But again, when Ethereum is doing well, so will the other, layer twos and other ecosystems out there, in my opinion. And you can see the sales count as well. Polygon doing really well this year, last month, 497,000. And you can see last year,